I'm going to speak God willing this today, and then on the subject of called What If? And I'm going to ask you an unthinkable question. Are you ready for it? Here's the question. What if death had conquered Jesus? What if he had stayed in the tomb? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever just sat down and thought about it? What if Jesus is dead? What if he isn't dead and he's alive? What if? Paul the Apostle deals with this in 1 Corinthians 15. If you've got a Bible, it's going to be really fascinating for you to read this. A lot of times we don't have Bibles anymore, just got phones. But Paul deals with this. He says now in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15, he says in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Look, I mean, hey, hold on. Isn't that sensible? This is logical. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there's no resurrection? But, verse 13, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is vain. Yes, and we are found to be false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so, it be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And since by man came death, by man came the resurrection. By man also came the resurrection of the dead. That is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. Wow. Imagine living in a life where Christ had not been risen from the dead. Can you believe it? What if Jesus was dead? Would you know? It would be the most disastrous thing ever if he hadn't. Now, I remember, maybe you've seen movies about this old guy. His name was Harry Houdini. He died way back in 1926, and he was a sensation of his day. He toured the country. He did all manner of escape things. Put him in jail. He'd escape from the jail. Put him in a coffin, tie chains around the coffin, throw the coffin in the river. He got out of it. But in 1926, Harry Houdini died. Got some kind of illness when he was visiting the hospital. Yeah, he died. And afterwards, his wife went to seance after seance after seance, trying to make contact with Harry, and could never do so. They had a little code which had worked out between them, and Harry said, look, if I'm on the other side, I'll give you this code, and you'll know it's me, not some impersonating spirit. But Harry died, and Harry was buried, and Harry was placed in the tomb, and, well, he couldn't escape. He couldn't escape from death. He couldn't escape. Now, Jesus was placed in the tomb, and after 3 days, like a butterfly, he burst out. That's the best way you could say, burst out of his cocoon, and he burst out of the tomb. And today, he is the risen Savior. Do you want to be saved? Well, we've got a Savior who conquered death. And you in him, if you are in him, you will conquer death. Yeah, you will conquer death in him. You're guaranteed in him. But what if he is still in the grave? Oh, yeah. What if? Well, it doesn't really matter. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, but I had a wonderful feeling and I came to Jesus. Listen, which Jesus did you come to? The one who beat death or the one who is dead? The one who is dead, it doesn't exist, by the way, but he cannot save anybody. Only a living Savior can save you and can save me. He is. Jesus is the risen Savior. But what if? What if? Yeah. What if he didn't rise from the dead? Well, this passage that we read just gives us or gave us six awful things that would be true if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. The first thing is this in verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, pointless, useless, and your faith is also in vain. Oh, your faith is an exercise in futility, uselessness. Uselessness, without effect. That's what in vain means. It's of no purpose. That's what in vain means. It's a waste of time. That's what in vain means. If Christ is still in the grave, then this is a useless time we're having together on the radio. It's useless for you to go to church or to go to a prayer meeting if Jesus is in the grave. Oh my goodness, there's no point to it all. Useless. I've read some liberal preachers who do not believe in the resurrection. Do you know what they are? They're well-paid windbags. Their preaching is pointless if there is no resurrection. The church is pointless if there is no resurrection. A church that believes that Jesus is in the grave is no church. We have no gospels. What's the point? What's the point in getting together and singing to a God who's dead? What's the point of praying to a God who's in the grave? No, there's no good news that Jesus is in the grave. What if? Are we singing and praising a dead Savior? And then the next thing I want to draw your attention to is that faith would be in vain. Well, why put faith in the dead Messiah? See, faith is only as good as its object. Faith isn't the actual Savior. It's the object of faith that is the Savior. And the object is Jesus. Faith itself does not save. Jesus saves. But if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, he saves no one. You can't put your faith in a dead man, can you? Are you going to trust a dead man? A dead man to take you to heaven? I mean, it's illogical. It's impossible. A dead man can't bring you to heaven. But Jesus can bring you to heaven because he did arise from the grave. Romans 1:4 says he is shown to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection. Jesus is alive. You know, I read once about a teacher. He asked his class to write an essay on the world's greatest living person. One student wrote an essay about Jesus. And the teacher said, well, son, that was very good, but I asked that you would write me an essay about a living man. But teacher, said the student, Jesus is alive. Why, we do not put our faith in the dead Messiah. We put our faith in a living one who's been raised from the dead. And so if Jesus isn't risen, our preaching is useless. Our faith is vain. So what if Jesus is not raised? Well, it gets worse. Verse 15 and 16, talking about if Jesus is not raised. Yes, And we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. And so be it that if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. Did you get that? Did you get that? Then is Christ not raised? In other words, if Christ isn't raised, we are false witnesses. Paul is not saying that, it's okay. If Christ is in the grave, then don't worry about it. We're just mistaken. No, he's saying that that all the apostles are liars if Christ is still in the grave. Did you hear me? John and Mark, Peter, the lads, they're all liars if Jesus is still in the grave. And we need to ask the question, were those apostles, were they all liars? Were they? Then why did they lie? Well, good question. Well, I tell you what, preacher, they died for gain. Well, what gain could they have if Christ was still in the grave? They went about with that story to make some money. Oh, really? How did the apostles die? Well, they were all martyred, except for John. They tried to kill him, but they didn't. There's no gain in that. Peter was crucified upside down. A bunch of the early disciples, they were the apostles. They were beheaded. They were tortured. One of them was burnt in the fires. Thomas over in India, he had spears stuck into him. What gain is that? There's no gain in that. They all of them, except for John, died violent deaths. Did they do that just to keep a lie going? Remember, these men, these early apostles, had seen Jesus after he was risen. He spent 40 days with them. They knew the truth that he had risen and was alive forevermore, and he was the one who said that he was the way, the truth, the life, and no one would come to the Father but by me. But in other words, by him we would come to the Father, we would come to glory, we would come to understand God. Yeah. And they went everywhere, preaching, teaching. Over in northern Africa, way out as far as India, Asia Minor, they went everywhere, making disciples and preaching. Wow. Are you going to do that to perpetrate a lie? Would you die for a lie, knowing that a deliberate lie was going to cause your death, and all you had to do was stop telling the lie and you'd be spared? But these men insisted that Jesus rose from the dead. There's no gain in that. They were wiped out. So now we've seen him. We've touched him. We've handled him. Are you going to tell me that these disciples, these apostles, lost everything, including their lives, just to foster and spread a lie? Peter, a liar. James, a liar. John, a liar. Are you going to say that? You're going to say they're con men? They're crooks? They're deceivers? Whew. Were they all so morally bankrupt that they would die to promote a lie? But if Christ, listen to me, if he's still in the grave, then the apostles were indeed liars. They were indeed deceivers. And we can't trust one word they said. Do you hear me? We can't trust one word they said. Why? We can't trust one word of the New Testament. Why? Because the New Testament is written by liars. What if Christ is not risen? Then our preaching is useless. Our faith is in vain. We're led by deceivers. What if? Is Christ in the grave? Oh, wow. But there's more. Yeah. What if Jesus was in the grave? Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Did you hear that? If Christ is in the grave, we have no hope of forgiveness. If Christ is in the grave, we have no hope of salvation. If Christ is in the grave, we have no hope of reconciliation. If Christ is still in the grave, we have no hope of justification. If Christ is still in the grave, we have no hope of redemption. What if? What if? What if Christ is dead? What if? Would you know it, by the way? Would you know it? Oh, yeah. If Christ is still in the grave, sin is not conquered. God can't overlook sin. How do I know that? I know that because he's holy. He's a holy God. He hates sin. He's holy, and his holiness demands the death of the sinner. That's not vicious. What if somebody, okay, you say, I don't believe the death penalty. Yeah, okay. What if somebody was caught in videotape, and the videotape, there were 12 videotapes, murdering, destroying some young person, just whatever, and torturing and killing and everything. You mean you don't agree with the death penalty for that? Well, I'm not going to debate you, but I do. I don't like the death penalty. I would try to avoid it if possible. But if it's overwhelming evidence, yes, we deal with sin. Justice deals with sin. And God is just. God is just, and he can't overlook sin. Yes, he loves us, but he can't overlook sin. He's got to punish sin. He's holy, and his holiness demands the death of the sinner. And listen to me. You have either been punished at the cross, or you'll be punished in hell. What do you mean punished at the cross? I mean, Jesus went to the cross as a substitute, as a representative of his people. He went as a substitute for his people. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It was our sin that put him on the cross. Oh, I know there's a bunch of idiots out there who say Jesus didn't die because of sin. He died to show us what love is. No, he was wounded for our transgressions. And he who knew no sin became sin that we might be called or become the righteousness of God. Yeah. So your sin has either been punished in Christ. If you're a believer, listen to me. Good news. Yay. Throw a party. If you are a believer, your sin has been punished already. Already. Did you hear me? Already. Glory to God already. Oh. See, God can't overlook sin. Either he's dealt with our sin in Christ, or we have to face the judgment throne. And if Christ is still in the grave, that means the Father did not accept the sacrifice of Calvary. That means the Father did not accept the sacrifice of the Son. Well, but how do we know that the Father accepted the sacrifice of Calvary? How do we know that? We know that by the resurrection. Jesus is raised from the dead. That's how we know that all he did was satisfactory. All he did was accepted by the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Romans 4:25. He was delivered up for our offenses and raised for our justification. Now, raised for means the for means because of our justification. So he was delivered for our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And justification, just let me remind you, that's where you are declared as being not guilty. It's a declaration, not guilty. You're not guilty. How can Jesus be guilty of your sins and you still be guilty? It's impossible. But it's not impossible if Jesus is still in the grave. Oh, you have no hope. No hope, unbeliever. You have no hope, believer. You have no hope. If Jesus is in the grave, there's no hope of heaven. We are yet in our sins. The soul that sins shall die. That's just the truth of it. The soul that sins shall die. But Christ is risen from the dead, and the sacrifice of Calvary has been accepted. And if there had been anything lacking in the life of Jesus, or lacking in his death, the Father would have left him in the grave. But the resurrection, however, is the Father's amen. That's what the Father said when he rose, when Jesus was risen from the dead. He said, amen. That's what it was the equivalent of. The resurrection is the Father's amen to the doing, dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what if Christ is still in the grave? Is there anything else? Yeah? Oh, this is really serious. This is really, really serious. Oh, my. And it says, verse 18, then they which are fallen asleep, when it says to fall asleep, it's talking about death. Death. That's, by the way, death is a subject very rarely discussed in Christian circles. Because everybody dies, but nobody seems to give it a lot, or few people give it a lot of time. And so they that are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Did you hear that? Perished. Perished. They don't go to a ghost city up in the skies, up in the blue yonder, and visit with their granny and wait for the resurrection. They have died. They have perished. Because man is not immortal. God alone has immortality, and he gives immortality to believers. And if Christ is in the grave, everyone who has died, whether they were calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether they were believing or going on mission work or doing whatever, writing hymns, writing sermons, leading prayer meetings, if they died and Jesus is still in the tomb, they have perished themselves. They've perished. If Jesus has perished, they have perished. They're gone. It's over. Death has dominion if Christ is still in the grave. They have perished. That means destroyed and utterly ruined. There's no hope in death. It's the enemy if you're not saved. And here, listen, you're going to die. I've told you this before in this broadcast. I know your future. You're going to die. I'm going to die. How will we face it? If Christ is still in the grave, if Christ is still in the grave, hey, cut out the word dying and say perished. We've perished. Perished. You know, if Christ is still in the grave, the whole thing's just a joke. The whole of Christian life is just a joke if Jesus is still in the grave. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Listen, if that's your only hope, is it because, oh, you like Jesus and he's a great teacher, wasn't he? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And who was like him? He did a lot of miracles and all. But if Jesus is still in the grave, we are of all people most miserable if Jesus is still in the grave. All we've got to look forward to is getting sicker and sicker and sicker and wasting away and dying and put in the grave and greedy microbes eating away at our bodies. If Christ is not risen, we are in misery. We are, of all men, most miserable. We have no hope. Oh, but change the channel. Now Christ has risen. He is off the cross. He's out of the grave. He's alive forevermore. And we shall not perish. Have you trusted Christ? trust him. Elsewise, otherwise, you will perish. You have no hope. If you go to Rome, it's Rome in Italy, you can see the catacombs, the underground burial chambers of ancient Rome, and they buried pagans there, and they also buried Christians there. Now, they would get inscriptions written on their tombstone to explain what their outlook was. And the inscriptions from pagans, the pagan graves, are full of despair. You can look them up online. Full of despair, lacking in hope. Here's one of them. One guy says, "Live for the present, for we are sure of nothing else." Ha! That's from a grave in the catacombs. Sounds like some people I know. Live for the present, for we're sure of nothing else. Would that describe you? Here's another one. "I will lift up my hands against the gods who took me away at the age of 20. Whoa, see the anger there? Here's another one. "Once I was not, now I am not. I know nothing about it. It's of no concern of mine." Oh, yeah. Die without Jesus. What are you going to write in your tombstone? Dear unbeliever, why not trust Christ? Why not surrender to Christ? Why not ask him for mercy? Here's another one. "Traveler, curse me not as you pass, for I am in darkness and I cannot answer you." Gosh, that's pagan death, isn't it? But there are Christian inscriptions over the tombs of believers, and they're very, very different. "Here lies Monica." Here's one. "Here lies Monica, put to rest in the green of peace." Here, this one's for Lawrence, from Lawrence. "He went in peace, victorious in life, victorious in Christ." Wow. How wonderful it is to know that there is a God who came here in Christ and grappled with the iron bars of death and won victory over it. And I'm here to tell you that if you're a believer, death will not have, does not have dominion over you, because Christ is risen from the dead. But what if Christ is not risen? Then let me tell you, are you ready for this? "But now is Christ risen." Okay, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." But we are of all men most miserable. Somebody said it like this, concerning the future. If Jesus really stayed in the grave, then nothing really matters. Isn't that the truth? But if Jesus came out of the grave, then nothing else really matters. Nothing matters if Jesus is alive. Nothing matters if Jesus is dead. If Jesus is dead, God help us. We have no Savior. We have no hope. But if Jesus is alive, if he's conquered death, then nothing matters. It doesn't matter what they do to you. Nothing matters. If Jesus is alive, he's victorious. He'll conquer all our enemies. He'll put society right. Nothing matters. Yeah, nothing matters. If Jesus is in the grave, we are deluded. That's right. We are of all men most miserable. We're deluded fools. But Jesus has conquered death, and he's given us sure and certain hope that he will give us eternal life. Did you ever hear of Einstein, the very, very famous professor? He was traveling by train, the ticket inspector came around and asked for his ticket, and he hoped, as we would say in Ireland, hoped in his pockets, and he couldn't find his ticket. And the conductor said, look, it's all right, professor. We know you. We know you got a ticket. He says, no, but I need to find out. No, it's okay. It's okay. We believe you, you paid. Yeah, he says, I paid for it. I can't find it. And he says, don't worry about it, says the conductor. We know you're good for it. So the conductor went to leave the compartment, and he turned around, and he saw the professor, the good Professor Einstein, on his knees, hooking around onto the seats and everything. And the conductor went back to him and says, Professor, really, trust me, it's okay. It's okay. We don't need that ticket. Einstein says, well, I do. Why? He says, because I've got to find out where I'm going. That's pretty bad, isn't it? I need to know where I'm going. But here, we need to know where we're going. Have you trusted Christ, by the way? That's the way to settle your destiny. Do you know where you're going? If you're an unbeliever, you're going to perish. You're going to perish. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to have death, the second death. Oh, the future is fearful for you. And if Christ is not risen, preaching is in vain. It's useless. Faith is in vain. Useless. Disciples, apostles, they were deceivers if Jesus is in the grave. And sin would not be conquered if Jesus is still in the grave. And the dead in Christ have perished if Christ is not risen. And the future is fearful. That's right. The future is fearful. So the greatest truth in history is that Christ came out of the grave. He lives. He lives. He lives. Have you trusted him? Have you prayed and talked to him? You know that's what prayer is, talking to Jesus. And I'm thinking about a wee story in the Bible there where two men went up to the temple to pray. And one man, he said, I think, or I'm not like other men. I tithe, I do this. He gave a big list of righteous things that he was doing, and he's talking to God, and he said, yeah, I'll be all right. But the Salawi man, he couldn't so much as lift his eyes up into heaven, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. He stood and he prayed with himself. And he made those long, meaningless, formal prayers. Anybody can say the publican's prayers, by the way. You don't have to go and say, oh, I'm going to learn and memorize a prayer so that I can talk to God. No, pray from your heart. And you know what I'm going to ask you to do? You're listening to me. You're not a believer. I don't know which country you're in. You're listening. You're not a believer. But pray. Pray right now. Pray. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did you pray that? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did you pray it from your heart? Not just the words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know what? If you've asked God for mercy, he will grant it. The reason that you ask him for mercy is he's working on you. He's drawing you to himself. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that is the gospel truth.